Good morning. It is great to be with you. Welcome to our modern service. Before I get started with the sermon, I wanted to let you know that it is hard being 6 months into this pandemic. I can assure you that the staff here, I can assure you that the elders and the leaders of this church wish and hope to be back together as soon as possible, and we will continue to do as much church as we possibly can as things begin to open up. But in the meantime, it's important that we communicate to you that there are still ways for you to connect with your church family. If you're not receiving the top five email, we hope that you would sign up for that. And I'll tell you how to sign up for that in just a little bit. But that is every week. Here are five things that we have going on that you can connect with the life of church, you can connect with God, you can connect with other people in the church. So please pay attention to that. One example is that on Wednesdays, Ryan and Kathy and Taylor, they are leading a Zoom meeting on Wednesday night where we can get together, and it is all about learning to grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus. And so if that is interesting to you, if that's compelling to you, if you want to be in conversation with other people in the church who are also on the journey to be more like Jesus, that's a great place to do it. We hope that you'll join us in that. Also, since we have begun this pandemic, this online virtual services, new people have come to the church who have only visited us online. But we've been able to connect with these people virtually, but also some in person. And some of these people want to become new partners, covenant partners of the church. And so we want to extend to you the invitation. If you would like to be a part of what we're doing here at Palm Desert Community Presbyterian Church, and you'd like to be a covenant partner, which just means that you are partnering with us to advance the mission of our church, which is to connect with God, one another, and the world through Jesus, we invite you to do that. And so for all of these connection opportunities, we hope that you'll reach out to our Director of Connections, which is Kathy Apotian, and her email will appear on the screen somewhere very shortly. So we hope that you will connect. There are opportunities to connect, and we'd love to hear from you, and also to find out if there's any way we can serve you during this time. And so Christianity Today, it tells a story, and it's a story about a young boy who passed away way, way too early. And his older brother, he powerfully describes the impossible task, the impossible responsibility of trying to piece together some sort of obituary for his brother. And he writes, void of compassion, the blank document, an unforeseen obituary stared back of us, wringing all adjectives of their meaning one after another. Each suggested description seemed to shrink our beloved brother, the one who held the titles of my best friend and my younger brother, into someone foreign and unrecognizable. The task of fitting all of his life, the task of fitting all of our love into one small newspaper column was exhausting. So we traded our pencils for pillows and we gave up for the night. A few hours later, unable to sleep, I found my sleepy-eyed father scribbling notes on the back of a stack of white index cards. Between the light blue lines were favorite stories and memorable quotes and beloved quirks of my younger brother. My dad handed me a stack, and as the dark sky faded into morning, our collection of cards, our collection of stories, finally created just an outline of something familiar, someone familiar. Maybe you've been in this situation before. Maybe you know what it's like. You've experienced how all the adjectives you can think of can fail absolutely miserably in capturing the truth about someone you love. Maybe you know what it's like in an attempt to do the impossible, to try to fit all of the life and all of the love of one of your loved ones into something written. I wonder if that challenge was shared by the biblical writer John. Can you imagine the difficulty? Can you imagine the challenge of having only words to use to try to capture the life of Jesus? I'm sure John would know the feeling. I know John would know the difficulty of words simply not being adequate. I'm sure he shared the feelings of all the adjectives being wrung of any of their meaning time and time again. I wonder if John deeply felt the challenge, deeply felt the difficulty of capturing all of the abundant life that Jesus lived with and all the abundant life that Jesus desired to give to the world and all of the love that the followers of Jesus had. I'm sure John experienced the difficulty of trying to capture all of that with just words. Remember, to John spent 3 really intense years with Jesus. So to John, Jesus was not some faraway, spiritual, holier-than-thou religious character or religious ideal. Not at all. To John, Jesus was a friend. Jesus was someone that John partnered with to find all kinds of endless amounts of good trouble. John was someone who partnered with Jesus in order to flip the religious world upside down. John was someone who knew Jesus as the one who offered salvation, not just to him and his friends, but to the entire world. To John, Jesus was the one that he knew to be dead, yet also the one that he now knew to be alive. Using limited, finite words is how John is supposed to articulate Jesus. How are you supposed to do that? Words can be so inadequate. And I think that we can all agree that introductions are really, really important. You want to get the introduction right. So in an attempt to write about Jesus, John can introduce Jesus however he wants. John can introduce Jesus in whatever way he finds is the most helpful. And here is how John introduces his friend, his teacher, his partner in good trouble, his Savior, and the one who defeated sin and death. John, in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, he writes, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Now, how's that for an introduction? That's an impressive, that is a huge, that is a limitless, that is a cosmic way to introduce someone that you just spent the last 3 years with. This is not your typical introduction, right? I mean, who is introduced as being with God? Who is being introduced as God? Who is introduced as being the one who is there at the very beginning, before even creation? John had a huge task. Not only did John need to use finite words and able to describe an infinite Jesus, which, by the way, has to be hard enough, but John had to do it in a way that engaged both a Jewish and a non-Jewish or a Gentile audience. When John begins to introduce Jesus as the Word, he is using a loaded phrase that had both Jewish and non-Jewish or Gentile readers. They both groups would have found significant meaning in this phrase. But thousands and thousands of miles removed, thousands and thousands of years removed from this situation and John writing this down, we can miss it. So a little bit of homework, a little bit of background. So what did the phrase, the Word, mean to a Jewish audience? Let's start there. For the Jews, the Word, it represented the creative power of God. For the Jews, the Word is what goes out in order to accomplish the will and the desires of God. It was the Word. It was God's Word that created the heavens and the earth and everything in them. We'll talk more about that next week. When God wills for something to happen, when God desires for something to happen, the Jews believe that it was the Word of God that went out in order to accomplish that task. Jewish people, they view words as dynamic. They view words as having